to Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. Good morning. Welcome to another call to worship. This is Pastor Tony. What were your thoughts when you awoke this morning? Were your thoughts inspirational, pleasant, or negative thoughts? The Bible records the thoughts David had for God. How precious to me are thy thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Would you adopt David's prayer as your own? What is the state of your thought life? I only ask because your thought life is a major part in your worship. What you think of God is vital, and also important is what you think of yourself. Thoughts direct much of your daily conduct. What thoughts do you feed your mind every day? Your thoughts regulate the worth you place on yourself and God. Scripture reveals the great value God places upon us. We were on His mind in eternity past. From the point of our creation, He has lavished upon us His extravagant love, making us the object of His affection and attention. The truth of God counteracts the lies we tell ourselves that so easily steals our joy. In eternity past, God saw our nakedness, and nobody had compassion on us but God. In His compassion, God bathed and clothed you. God made you His own forever. God adorned you, feeding you fine flour and honey and oil. God gave you beauty to replace your wretchedness. This is the worth God placed on you. When you feel belittled and insignificant, bask in God's great love for you and worship Him for His amazing grace.
Lord, hear my cry. Lord, hear my plea. Wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord.
Jesus is God's down payment of his promises. Jesus is the personification of the Father. We only need to follow the life of Jesus to see how God values us. Whatever Jesus said, it came from the Father. Whatever Jesus did, he was commanded to act by the Father. Recall when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? All cried out to Jesus, "Heal us, have mercy on us." How many were thankful? Jesus loves us so much, he will heal us and bless us even when he knows we are ungrateful or too busy to thank him and not give honor to God. Only one leper came back to worship Jesus. The truth is, we are like the 9 lepers. Did you know Jesus has to send individuals to help us when we can't help ourselves? You can't get more wretched than this. You do know leprosy is a visible expression of inward sin? Have you ever sinned and God blessed you anyway before you repented? We see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Who is Lazarus? We are. Sometimes we have deadness all about us. We are dead in our joy, dead in loving one another, dead in our praying, dead in giving thanks to God, dead in our relationships. But Jesus resurrected us. Remember the man with the withered hand? This man pleads with Jesus, "If thou can help me, have compassion on me." This is us to the T. Sometimes we don't have the faith, but God blesses anyhow, just as Jesus healed this man's hand. Unbelief is another sign of our wretchedness. God sent Jesus to remind us how important we are to the Father. For a few moments, let's consider this meditation theme, God's grace versus man's anger. In the last chapter of the book of Jonah, we come to the conclusion of what should have been a success story for one of God's prophets. To understand why, listen to the last verse of chapter 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Here's the deal. God sent Jonah to warn Nineveh of impending judgment in 40 days' time. We know at first Jonah refused to go so that the Ninevites could not repent and be spared by God's grace. What was Jonah's problem? Anger corrupted his heart against the people God wanted to save. God's character is about saving lives. Man's character, specifically his anger, brings destruction. God will forever hate sin, but his hatred of sin never cancels the power of his love, grace, or mercy toward us. Yes, God pronounces judgment. God is serious. Don't play with God. When prophets declare God's impending judgment, God waits for genuine repentance. When people turn from their evil ways, the sentence of death is canceled and life continues. When God's wrath is finally poured on the wicked, it is only after God has given the wicked more than sufficient time to repent, with multiple warnings to turn from their wicked ways. Man's anger centers in his bitterness, resentment, selfishness, irritation, envy, and jealousy that percolates in his heart. The Bible says, "Be angry, but sin not." Jonah's anger gave him the audacity to be angry with God for wanting to give salvation to the Ninevites. Let's look at a portion of scripture. The chapter for this meditation is Jonah chapter 4. But let's look at Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thy well to be angry?" Amen. Man is incapable of managing his emotions apart from God's grace. What does God's grace achieve, and what is the responsibility of receiving the grace of God? First, the grace of God shows what kind of God we have. Imagine nursing bitterness in your heart toward God because he spares your enemies. Instead of wiping out your enemies, God shows compassion, kindness, and love to them. Where do we get the idea that God is one of destruction? God is love. Why would he destroy man, the jewel of his creation, when he has the power to convert man? God is slow to anger, abounding in love, gracious and compassionate. He relents from sending calamity. When you know the kind of God you have, you will appreciate why God spared you when your enemies came after you. Jonah knew what kind of God he had. Jonah knew God was full of mercy and grace. After all, when he was in the belly of that fish, Jonah desperately prayed for God's grace. But Jonah did not want the Ninevites to have God's grace. This is the God we have. "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Second, the grace of God draws all people to God's banquet hall. Consider the community, the church, workplace, even the supermarket is God's banquet hall. Everybody in the hall are there by God's invite. God offers everybody who comes in to have an intimate relationship with him. In other words, God offers the grace of salvation, but not all will accept the offer. Everybody in the banquet hall are mingling with each other. Some are mean and cruel, religious and irreligious, the polite and the impolite. Can you spot the Ninevites? Imagine God calls on you to labor in the banquet hall to make disciples. As you roam through the crowd, you meet old buddies who treated you terribly, others you didn't care for. Some bring back old hurts you'd rather not think about. Will you be like Jonah when you face those who were nasty and cruel toward you? As you greet everyone, will you be slow to anger and pour out the love, compassion, and grace? Will you imitate Christ? You realize God has purposely brought you to be with these Ninevites who worked your last nerve and those who went out of their way to be your enemy. God wants to save these Ninevites through your profession of faith in Christ. Will you be like Jonah in God's banquet hall? Third, being recipients of God's grace demands we love the Ninevites in our lives. The Ninevites in our story translates to those people who have hurt us. They are the people who have done terrible things to us. Beware of the Jonah trap. Jonah hated the Ninevites because they massacred many of the Israelites. The Ninevites were a godless and evil nation, and Jonah wanted God to utterly destroy them. When anger grips us, we are blind to our own sin while we see only the wrong done to us. In this emotional state, we want others to be condemned in the worst way. But wait, the Bible says when we condemn, we have in fact condemned ourselves. Blinded by hate, bitterness, and resentment, Jonah is no good to God. My friends, take this with you. We must take to heart the hard lessons Jonah learned. We must not seek comfort from the spiritual challenges of witnessing and ministering to the so-called undesirables or the Ninevites in our society. They need God's grace as we did when we first came to Christ. Oh, did you forget you were a Ninevite before you were saved by grace? As recipients of God's grace, there is no reason why we should not be extending God's saving grace to those headed down to judgment. When we are in bondage to our human emotions, we become an explosive weapon for the devil to exploit. Saints, this must never be. Father God, thank you for your grace. teach us to be generous in extending your grace to those in need and who cross our path every day. We ask for these moments of worship and reflection to be planted in the good soil of our hearts. May the seed of your word blossom in us into an abundant spiritual harvest for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.